Ruth chapter 2. The end of the first day of gleaning has come. And Ruth we've already talked about last week how Boaz had said some kind things to her and had expressed an interest in having her continue to come back to that same field a day after day. But the end of the first day has come, and she collects the grain that she has gathered that day, and she takes it back to Naomi. Now, up until this point in time, Naomi is kind of in the dark about what's happening. You and I, last week, we saw the great favor that Boaz had shown to Ruth. But now Naomi's going to learn about these things. And as we read the passage here in just a minute, just listen to Naomi's surprise. You remember Naomi had suffered the loss of her husband, the loss of her sons. She had decided that her life was bitter, and she changed her name to reflect that. I think she had given up on God. Aren't you glad when we give up on God, He doesn't give up on us? Amen. You may know somebody like that. The right response for a believer who is suffering trials is to draw closer to God. Occasionally I've had people say things to me that they blame God for this or blame God for that. You don't understand God if you're blaming Him first. The first thing you need to remember is the goodness of God and what He's done for us. In Ruth chapter 2, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read beginning in verse 17. The Bible says in Ruth 2:17, "So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, 'Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee.' And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, 'The man's name with whom I wrought today was Boaz.' And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead.' And Naomi said unto her, 'The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen.' And Ruth the Moabitess said, 'He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest.' And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field.' So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the blessing it is to be here with your people and in this place, but most of all, to be able to open the Word of God and see the blessings that Ruth and Naomi were experiencing at the hand of Boaz, and truly at your hand. And we think of the fact that we also have access to great blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that tonight we could consider the blessings that you have given to us. Lord, that you just give us a good time in your Word. We thank you for our visitors tonight. Pray we'd be a special blessing to them. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. God delights in blessing us, doesn't He?
Amen.
Just as much and much more than we delight in blessing our children, God delights in blessing us. And when sometimes when we find ourselves in a position where we're not right with God, God has to withhold those blessings. But it's not God who's doing that. It's we that do that when we keep ourselves from being where we ought to be with Him. I just tell you, God wants to bless you.
Amen.
Now, again, as you look at this passage right here, you come to the end of the first day, and Ruth, when she goes home that day, I'm not sure if I got my measurements right, but an ephah of barley could be as much as 10 gallons. I'm not sure how you can carry that much grain. You might drag it along behind you, perhaps, but that's not what gleaning normally would have resulted in. Gleaning should have resulted in maybe enough food for a day, maybe for two, not a week or more worth of food. And so when she came home to Naomi that night with this large amount of grain, something was obvious, and that is that you've been blessed by somebody. I hope when our neighbors, our loved ones, our family, our co-workers, I hope when they look at our life, they can see the blessings of God.
Amen?
Amen? And it's sad when you think about what happens, because my wife, she works downtown, and she works with some people, and they have gone through horrible things in their life. They're divorced, and their children are in some cases in terrible situations. And when we were in the ministry back in Maryland and in Utah and here as well, we would talk to her family, and maybe they've gone through some things we didn't have to go through. There's a lot of blessings that come from God that are just obvious in your life, and one of them is not having to reap the wages of sin. But not only that, the goodness of God in your life.
Amen.
He provides for us. He gives us satisfaction that we cannot find anywhere else. And we ought to be just like Ruth was to Naomi. When people see us, they ought to say, they've got a God that knows how to bless them. That doesn't mean you have to be rich. That doesn't mean you have to have perfect health. That doesn't mean you have to have the latest cars and houses and gadgets. God can give you the things that you need, but the blessings of God should be evident in our life. And one of the things we do on Wednesday nights, of course, is come here and give testimony of how God's been a blessing to us. God is a blessing.
Amen.
And it's obvious. The end of the day had come. She comes home with much more grain than would have been expected. And there's another blessing, and that is, it's not just what God or what had happened to her today, but there's a prospect for tomorrow. Aren't you glad God's in control of your tomorrow?
Amen.
You know what the devil will tell you? The devil will lie to you, and the devil will say, there's no hope. Things are going to get worse. There's never going to be an improvement. God's never going to bless. You're wasting your time. Folks, we serve a God that knows how to bless.
Amen.
You know, when Paul was let down the wall in the basket because the Jews were trying to kill him, I don't know how blessed he felt right there at that time, but look what God did with him later on in his life. When you and I go through trials in our life and we go through those low spots like Ruth and Naomi had gone through, we need to remember we've still got a God that knows how to bless us. Let me show you a few things here in this passage that reflect the blessings of God in Ruth's life. I think they should reflect the blessings of God in our life. And I would remind you again, I won't read the verses, but in verse 19 and in verse 20 and in verse 22, the blessings weren't just beneficial to Ruth. They flowed down to Naomi, and Naomi took note of them, and they made a difference in her life as well. And when God blesses us, it makes a difference. It should make a difference in other people's lives as well. Three things I can see here real quickly. First of all, back in verses 17 and 18, there was a productivity. Again, an ephah of barley, far more than she should have produced in one day. And I got to ask us the question, in our life, can we see productivity? Say, oh, pastor, I got a good job and make a lot of money. I'm not talking about that kind of productivity. I'm talking about productivity that has eternal value. Amen?
Amen?
What about souls? Are you seeing productivity in the area of souls? I was candidating way long time ago, back in early 2000s, candidating for a church, and they would send me a questionnaire. And most of the time, the questionnaire would ask, when was the last time you led a soul to Christ? And at that time, I had a prison ministry, and I was filling this one questionnaire out, and I was kind of excited. The questionnaire said, when was the last time you led a soul to Christ? And I wrote down, today. Amen?
Amen?
Can you write down today? Can you write down this week? Can you write down this month? Can you write down this year? Folks, if we're seeing the blessings of God, there's going to be some productivity. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I understand there are some blessings that aren't quite so tangible, but those are the things that matter the most. Souls, holiness in our life, impact on others for God. And folks, we need to be praying for God to make an impact on others through us. I was very excited today to see a couple of students One student I told you about already that just responded so well after a pretty hard year. And then another student yesterday that made a good grade on a test and wound up making a C in the class, and that was great for that student. And but it's not just that they got the grade. I tell them all the time, you're not just doing this so you can get a grade. You're doing it for God. Amen?
Amen.
It's an intimidating question sometimes, but what is the productivity in our life? Are you seeing prayer answered? Are you praying? Amen? Are you seeing prayer answered? Are you seeing some souls saved? Are you affecting those around you for the Lord? Amen? We ought to have some productivity. You're not going to produce. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you do not sow, you will not reap. Say, Pastor, I haven't seen a soul saved in years. That could change.
Amen?
Amen? Are you all with me? It's sure quiet tonight. God can bless us. Amen? Start witnessing to folks. Start handing out tracts. Start caring about souls, praying for souls. Last night, the Lord really convicted me as I gave that young man that it was a copy of part of the Bible. It looked a little bit like this right here. It's the Gospel of John. And I thought to myself, he's turning down a copy of the Bible. I'm going to stand before God one day and say, somebody came to my door and they gave me a copy of the Gospel of John with a pamphlet on how to receive Christ. And I angrily gave it back to him. Wouldn't you hate to think about that for all eternity? You're in hell, and somebody was there. Well, here's a question. Have you been there? Amen? Are you going out? Amen? Somebody else will go, Pastor. I don't think so. I think God wants us all to go. If we're blessed, there ought to be some productivity in our life. There ought to be some things that we can see that God has done. There ought to be some growth. There ought to be some impact. There ought to be some souls. There ought to be some encouragement. There ought to be some people that we prayed for. Thank you so much for being here on Wednesday nights. We pray for folks. It makes a difference.
Yes.
Someone says, well, somebody else will pray. That's not the way God meant for it to be. I know somebody else will pray. We need to pray too.
Amen.
Is there any productivity? She had some proof in her productivity that God was blessing, that Boaz was blessing. Now, there's a second thing I see here, and let's begin in verse 19. And now you just really got to chuckle a little bit when you listen to Naomi, because you can kind of look at her before Ruth got home, and she has for a long time just assumed it's just going to be a bad life. It's just going to be a sad, sad, scraped by kind of existence, and husband's gone, sons are gone, a lot of sadness in her life. I mentioned to you last week, God knows how to change that. So here comes Ruth with a whole bunch of barley. We're going to have a good meal tonight. It was wheat as well, I suppose. And in verse 19, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, where hast thou gleaned? I'll come back and talk about that in a minute. But look at verse 19. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Look at verse 20. Blessed be he of the Lord. You know, if there are blessings in your life, it means you're pleasing the right person.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Who are you trying to please?
The Lord.
A lot of folks try to please themselves, I'm sorry to say. Some folks try to please other men. But remember, Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say, honestly, that when the Lord Jesus Christ looks at us, he is pleased? Amen? I think he ought to be able to. In John 15:5, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Hey, I better read that again. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now, we've already seen her productivity, but there's a reason behind our productivity. My productivity is not based upon my eloquence, my familiarity with the Bible, my ability to make conversation, or anything else that I happen to be able to do. Anything I produce is because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen? Amen? That's where your productivity is. Say, Pastor, I can't do hardly anything. Wow, you're in good shape then, because the Bible says when we're weak, he's strong. Pastor, I don't know how to talk to people. Great. God can use you wonderfully. Just do the best you can. Amen?
Amen.
I love the testimony tonight. You just do what you can. You tell somebody, hey, come in. Here's a cup of water. Let me witness to you. You speak Spanish. I speak English. This ought to be fun. Amen. And by the way, we've got Spanish tracts out there. Keep some around in Phoenix. It's a good thing to have in your pocket or in your house. But God doesn't expect our expertise. He just wants us to let him work through us. Amen? So the right person is the key to blessing, not just the right productivity, or it's a part of a blessing. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that should be pleased. Now, there were some days when Paul the Apostle was very pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it did not look like a blessed day. I'm thinking, for example, of the day where they stoned him and left him for dead. And some folks believe he did die and that Christ rose him from the dead. The Bible's silent, so I will be also. But the fact of the matter is, not a good day. I'm not telling you every day is going to just be perfect harmony and happiness and everything's good, you know. But I am going to tell you this. When you walk with the Lord, there will be blessings. Amen. And when you walk with the Lord and you're serving the right person, the end of the story is a good end. And he's the vine. We're the branches. He took knowledge of her in verse 19. I want you to know this. The Lord Jesus Christ took knowledge of you. Amen. Somebody says, Pastor, my life is terrible. No, watch me. Your life is wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for your sins. That's right. Amen. That's you say, well, he did that for other people. I don't know about other people. He did that for you. That's right. That's a pretty good life. Amen. Amen. And he died for your sins, and when you called on him, he saved you. That's a pretty good life, amen? Amen? And he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and he's preparing a place for you for all eternity. That's a pretty good life, amen? Amen? And you're a co-inheritor with Christ and a child of God. That's a pretty good life, amen? Amen? What was it I was unhappy about? Let me think about that a minute. Of all these things that God's done for me, if, by the way, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's a pretty good life, amen? Amen? It's who you know. It's not what you can do, it's who you know, the right person. Do you have the right person as the center of your life? Amen. So, Pastor, I'm the center of my life. Oh, wrong person. That's right. Ooh, that's bad. That is a sure recipe for misery and disaster. Amen to that. And I'll just make it simple. When you want to please somebody, please the Lord Jesus Christ. He took note of you. He, in verse 19, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And then, look at verse 20. Naomi is really beside herself. It's like a good practical joke. It's like, okay, Naomi, let me see how much God can bless you and turn your life around. We're going to surprise you today. And Naomi, in verse 20, she says this. She says, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Now, that's Naomi talking. That's Mara, the bitter one that lost her husband and lost her sons. And now she realizes, wait a minute. There is hope. Where is our hope? Well, Pastor, I got a lot of money in the bank and I got great plans. No. Our hope's in God. Amen? And the Bible says you'll be happy when your hope is in the Lord. No, he had not left off his kindness. Folks, God has not left off his kindness to you. Ask Dan Ball. Dan Ball's got cancer. And ask Joe Milsick, who's got cancer, and they're suffering. And they'll tell you, God has not left off his kindness. You know, the older we get, the more we realize to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Amen. You ready? Amen? If it were not for the loved ones and for the work the Lord has us to do, I'm ready. Let's go. Pastor in Utah used to say, well, make a load up tonight. Let's just go ahead and go. But God's got a reason for keeping us here. She had the right productivity. She had the right person. She was pleasing that Boaz, and he took knowledge of her, and he did not leave off his kindness to her. And so now look at verse 21. We'll finish up. Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Now, that's a paraphrase. You remember what he said, and Naomi kind of repeats it here. He said, don't go into any other field. We talked about that a whole lot last week, and I'm out of time, so I got to be kind of quick here. But look at verse 22. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens and that they meet thee not in any other field. And so even though we didn't hear that in verse 21, it's a repeat of what was said earlier by Boaz, and I'm going to zero in on that phrase, not in any other field. The signs of blessing in Ruth's life came through the right productivity. There was evidence that she was being blessed. They came from the right person. It was Boaz that was responsible for those blessings. For you and I, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came because she was in the right place. Now, I'm just going to be pastoral here for a minute. Let me tell you, the right place is the local church.
Amen?
Amen? Well, Pastor, I could serve God somewhere else. The right place is the local church. And you know why the devil attacks the church so much? Because he knows that's God's plan to reach the world with the gospel. And so the right place is the local church. The devil would say to you, I've got some places over here that I can bless you. It's going to take you out of church, but oh, this will be good. Uh-uh. The right place is in the local church. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ wants you. Amen?
Amen.
That's the plan. I talk about this so much, I just go on and on without even having to try very hard, but I'll mention one thing to you. Have you read your New Testament yet? Have you noticed something about the New Testament? Let's see what we got here, okay? We have an epistle to the Romans, a church at Rome, okay? And then we have the Corinthians, and that's a church at Corinth. And we have the churches in Galatia, and then we have the church at Ephesus, and then we have the church at Philippi. Seems like God's interested in churches. And then it goes on. And then you go to the Revelation, and there's the seven churches of the Revelation. I think God's interested in churches. Amen?
Amen.
Why would he write the entire New Testament to churches if he didn't think church was important? Now listen, it is God's will for every born-again Christian to be a member of a local church.
Amen.
It is God's will for every born-again Christian to be active in their local church. And if you think there's another field that's going to work out better, I just want to remind you something. Boaz is in this field. The Lord Jesus Christ is in this field. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen? If he loved it, I should too. It's his plan. The devil will tell you 100 different lies to try to get you out of church. He'll offer you money. He'll offer you excitement. He'll offer you all sorts of things. Just stay in the field where God put you. The blessings are in that field, not in another one. We're going to step into eternity, and we're going to look back at our life, and we're going to see something. The productivity that we had came from God. It was because the Lord Jesus Christ worked through us in his will, in the right place, which was the local church. Ruth's situation, humanly speaking, is still precarious. I mean, let's go back and just review this. We've gotten awfully excited from last week and this week, but the fact of the matter is she still has no husband. She's still living with a mother-in-law who has no husband. They're dead broke. The only thing that's changed in the last 24 hours, materially speaking, is now they got a bunch of barley. And that's good, they won't starve, but there's more to life than being fed. Amen?
Yeah.
But when you look at their future, hasn't everything changed? But maybe I'm not saying that quite right. God already knew all of that. They just had to see him do it. And it all came from going to that right field, pleasing that right person, being noted by that right person. And now it depends on something, and that is they need to stay put. Amen? And with that, because of the fact that we know the rest of Ruth, we know something. The blessings have just started. An ephah of barley is nothing. Wait till you see what God does next. Amen? Is God blessing your life? Pastor, I don't see the blessings right now. There's two possible problems there. One of them is maybe your vision. Maybe you don't see them in God's blessing. Or it could be that maybe God's trying to get your attention. Maybe you need to do something different. Maybe, for example, you're not in his will. Maybe, for example, you haven't got the Lord Jesus Christ in the right place in your life. Maybe, for example, you haven't got yourself in the right place in your life. But if you do, look out, God's going to bless. Amen?
Amen.
I remember just thinking of the pastor being here tonight. I went to Maryland in 2002. And some of you have heard me say this story, but he hadn't heard this. And so I'd been in Maryland, I don't know, less than a year. And we had a fellow that came through to preach for us on a Sunday night. He'd been a pastor for many, many, many years. He was helping out Christian Law Association, I think, at the time. And we were walking down the hall, heading for the auditorium for the evening service. And I thought, this is a chance for me to get some wisdom from somebody. And so I asked this fellow, what is the secret? What do I need to do to get this church to be blessed by God? And he didn't blink an eye. He didn't slow down. He didn't stop walking. He just very matter-of-factly said, oh, it's easy. He said, just work hard and pray. I was looking for some silver bullet like we all are, right? No, just be faithful to God. And God will bless. Amen? Now, you may see an ephah. You may see a half an ephah. You may see 10 ephahs. I don't know. I know this. God's in the business of blessing his people and using his people. And he wants to use us. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.